Philadelphia, your San Jose, or DC, Los Angeles, Galaxy.
Beach Pass.
Colorado Rapids. Vancouver Whitecaps. Seattle Sounders. Montreal Impact. Chivas USA. New York Red Bulls.
Pitch Pass, your all-access credential to the people that matter in MLS. Here's your host, Greg Roach.
Hi, how are you? Wow, it has been a day. We record this on a Wednesday, the day of the pipe bomb that Don Garber has thrown in the form of his press conference earlier in the day. We had a whole show put together. We flushed that down the toilet. We flipped the script, and we're going to bring in just one guest. And that guest is, in my opinion, the guy who covers MLS, who also is plugged in all the media side of MLS. He covers Philadelphia Union and MLS and U.S. soccer for Philly.com. He is the goalkeeper himself, Jonathan Tannenwald. He joins us right now for what I'm thinking is going to be a very heated, very passionate discussion about the Klinsmann versus Garber situation. Jonathan.
It said anonymous and had a bunch of black squares. I thought the CIA was coming for me.
No. It's actually MLS HQ. They don't like how you've been covering this whole situation, so they are coming after you.
Is that so? They're finally on me. All right, then.
How have you been, man?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you, and yourself.
Is there anything going on that you feel like you could write about or could cover?
U.S. women are coming to town.
Yeah. Yep. That's a big story, I'm sure. It's going to be all over the headlines.
And I've gotten into reporting on the popcorn futures market.
Wow.
That's a trading day in New York and Chicago today.
Wow. So should we start there or should we start with the...
Let's start there. Okay. I want to use that one on the show.
I figured you would. I called the Garber press conference a little earlier. I called it a pipe bomb. Is that an accurate description of what we experienced earlier today with MLS?
No, because that implies there was actual substance in it.
Oh, all right. This is why I wanted to have you on, for especially after all this stuff that went down, because you'll go back and forth with me, and I appreciate that. So first off, what did you feel lacked in substance with Don Garber's comments today?
Well, he said a lot. I mean, let's start there. He said a lot, and he said a lot of important things. I just can't help thinking that, you know, Garber's got a right to stand his corner. Klinsmann's got a right to stand his corner. And a week from now, we're going to go back to talking about promotion and relegation like this never happened.
All right. I mean, I don't like the fact that you're diffusing this situation, but I do think that it is a situation.
Oh, look, don't get me wrong. It was great fun. It was tremendous fun to be on that call and to live tweet it and have everybody absolutely flip out. You know, the futures market in popcorn and the New York Stock Exchange and the Chicago Mercantile, whatever it is, the futures market in popcorn has never been stronger.
Well, let me ask you this,
though. Only on account of today.
Let me ask you this. For those of us, myself included, who weren't on the conference call, how would you describe the tone? Because for a lot of us, we're just reading the comments. How was the tone of his voice?
Don Garber was angry. That's for sure. I mean, he definitely took personally a lot of what Jurgen Klinsmann said.
Is there, when you say angry, was it just the words, which we obviously can read and see that there is anger, or was there anger in his voice?
There was real anger in his voice, definitely. Definitely.
Is this a situation where this was the straw that broke the proverbial camel's back, or is it just this situation, the most recent comments about Michael Bradley and MLS in general, that just lit a fuse?
Well, to answer that question, you might want to go ask the Major League Soccer Players Union. Because even though, you know, I asked Garber, you know, Klinsmann talks about things he wants to change, and you in the past have talked about things you want to change, and everybody talks about things they want to see changed, and where a lot of us disagree, even if everybody has the same goal, there are a lot of people have different means of getting to the end. And so we talk about the pace of change. You know, what is your ideal pace of change for a league that has been slow and sustainable growth for much of Garber's administration? And how much of that, you know, change of pace can you get out of the CBA talks coming up? And that was where I clammed up and said, I'm not going to talk about the CBA talks here.
Which, you know, if you are an outsider who is taking sides, as you kind of have to, as because it's fun, you know, you think, I look at Garber and I go, thank you for championing the league. And coming to the defense of these guys who you feel have been slighted by Klinsmann and his comments. However, if Klinsmann were of the mindset of the personality to continue this feud, couldn't he come out and do exactly what you said and go, look, don't say my comments aren't true. If you want this league to be the league that you're talking about, the league that you think I need to acknowledge as a top 10 league, don't you then need to raise the minimums of the salary? And then at that point, all the players go, well, he's right, and start walking to his side of the argument?
Absolutely. I guarantee you the players' union, probably, or at least some people in the players' union, looked up at it during this conference call and said, oh, now you're on our side, aren't you?
So which of
what
the
else can I help you with?
What? Give me some of the highlight comments that you thought from Garber were on one side outrageous and on the other side kind of true when you're thinking about Jurgen Klinsmann.
Let's see here.
By the way, are you going to have something up at philly.com for us to then point you to at pitchpass.com? I hope you're yes, Jonathan.
On this particular story, probably not.
What? Because you got to write that popcorn's futures thing that takes precedent.
No, I've said my piece on Twitter this afternoon.
Right.
I'm saving my blog about the Philadelphia Union for matters related to the Philadelphia Union. I got enough to write about with them right now as it stands.
Fair enough. Okay, so what did you think to, because a lot of people were thinking, oh, well, Don Garber has stepped over the line. Don Garber is being a little bit unprofessional in the way he's going about this. What comments did you feel were unprofessional or, say, out of line?
Unprofessional and out of line. I think the one part to me that was out of line was trying to tell Jurgen Klinsmann what to believe. Where I think I would have said, the guy has a right to his opinion, I really disagree with it, and here's why.
Instead, he went with the, he is wrong.
Right, and here is a, to think that we are not aligned with our national team coach is disappointing and personally infuriating, and frankly, I don't think it is in line with the shared vision that this league has with the Federation. And then later, to think that our national team coach is not in alignment with that is frustrating as hell. Klinsmann's, quote, comments are at odds with what we collectively believe that we are trying to achieve together. A few minutes later, Grant Wall on Twitter, the venom of Garber's press conference is such that I'm wondering if he and Klinsmann are in cahoots and are about to laugh about this backstage, which I wholeheartedly agree with, by the way.
So you feel like this was Don Garber's, if we're using wrestling parlance, this was either his heel turn or his face turn, one or the other.
I don't speak the wrestling language, but I sure saw a lot of it get thrown around this afternoon.
All right, so here's my thought. No one in a position of power in U.S. soccer has come out and questioned Klinsmann on anything. And in this respect, I applaud Don Garber for at least someone who has some juice in the world of American soccer saying, wait a second, everything this guy says shouldn't be taken as gospel or the truth, and I'm going to tell you why. Now, did he argue a little too passionately and underscore some of his points? Yes. But I am at least glad that we have a dialogue now between the guy who apparently can do no wrong and cannot be questioned from someone who can have the power to question him.
Here's the other thing about that. And I've said this many times to many people, and sometimes they listen to me and sometimes they don't. I'd take Don Garber in a heartbeat over Gary Bettman and Roger Goodell.
Yes.
And look, I don't know. Look, Roger Goodell stands there in front of a lectern. He's a block of concrete. He says things that I have no idea if he really believes, and if he does, I find half of them troubling. And Gary Bettman stands there, makes enormous amounts of money for the National Hockey League, but does not act in the interest of the fans, and every time he takes a half a step outside of the office in Manhattan, he gets booed endlessly, as should be.
How much of this is Don Garber, and I tweeted this earlier today, I think you actually read it and responded, how much of this is Don Garber a little more feeling his oats now that he's got the FU money of a lucrative TV deal in his back pocket and thinking to himself?
I don't think it's so much that. I think it's that he's got another mandate from the owners to be commissioner.
So he got something from the owners that says, you are our guy moving forward for X amount more years.
Yeah, this was the presidential campaign speech at the convention on national TV, except he said it after the election instead of before it.
Okay. Because to me, that I think that is, at the when you peel it all away, for everybody who said Don Garber has embarrassed himself, it's bad for the league, my response to that is, bad in whose eyes? Because Don Garber is not being fired. Don Garber already has his TV deal in the back pocket, and Don Garber knows that MLS, unlike even 5 to 7 years ago, is the backbone of the U.S. men's national team now. And it's not a situation where Klinsmann can go, well, screw you, I'm not picking any MLS players. He can't do that anymore, and Garber knows that. So now, all bets are off, I can say what I want.
But this is part of what I said to you earlier. Nothing that Garber said today is going to change anything. Nothing that Klinsmann has said is going to change anything. Nothing. What's going to change?
Okay, how about this? A little less quid pro quo when it comes to releasing players for FIFA dates.
Yeah, that presumes they don't all of a sudden start observing the FIFA dates as they should do. They've got a dozen other confederations worth of players who are trying to get out.
Well, my greater point is, for X amount of time moving forward, something tells me good business will not be applied as a two-way street.
Good business is their players being on the national team.
What do you mean?
So that good business is releasing your players to Klinsmann because MLS makes more by having them on the national team in the long run than by having them playing for their clubs and not being with the national team.
So this is basically, we're in bed together, and like it or not, we are married, and you can grit your teeth all you want, but give me my players, and you can grit your teeth all you want, but we're bringing who we want into the league when we want to bring them into the league.
I guess. I mean, I'm not married, so you might know better than I.
I'm exhausted, Jonathan, from this. In a good way, though.
It was fun. It was the most fun I've had on a conference call in a long time.
Yes, it was. What are you expecting Klinsmann's response to be? Is he gonna take the high road? Is he going to go PC? Or will he also take the gloves off?
You know what I'd love to say Klinsmann's response would be? I was only at Toronto FC for a year or two, whatever it was. They aren't actually my fault. Because Jason DeVos of TSN, during the Klinsmann conference call, funny how Klinsmann never referenced his role in creating the quote-unquote environment that Bradley is currently playing.
You know, and to me, that's the thing about Klinsmann. You know, I applauded him over the summer, as most everyone did. But I also don't put him up on a pedestal as a Jose Mourinho type person, where he's a Svengali who everything he touches turns to gold and he's a genius. So for me, he's just a regular coach. And I guess what I liked about today was that somebody finally acknowledged, hey, he's just a coach. He's not the savior of American soccer.
And let me ask you this, too. This is something you have a little bit of personal experience with. How good a coach was Ben Olsen 2 years ago?
Well, 2 years ago he was great. Last year he sucked.
How good a coach was he last year?
He sucked.
How good a coach is he this year?
He's awesome. He's the best coach in the league.
Okay, then.
But see...
Why?
Because they win.
What makes you a good coach?
Winning.
Thank you.
Winning.
Yeah.
Winning.
Garber's winning. Klinsmann is winning, too, although he hasn't been winning for 15 years. Only a couple.
This won't be the last thing on this, but I will ask you this, and then we'll move on to the team that you cover, Philadelphia Union. And that is, I lost my thought, Jonathan. I've lost my thought. That's how fired up.
On live radio, congratulations.
That's how much I've been fired up.
Congratulations.
And forgotten.
Lost your train of thought completely on live radio.
Lost my train of thought.
Somebody asked on Twitter whether this is going on. Is the Garber versus Klinsmann battle good or bad for soccer in North America?
You know what?
And my answer was, it was tremendous.
It's great for soccer. And you know what? That was actually my point that I forgot that you have now reminded me of, because we are so symbiotic that we are on the same wavelength. The thing is, welcome to World Soccer, United States of America, where everybody doesn't just hold hands and kumbaya and hunky-dory their way through league, club, and FA. Everybody's on the same page. This is what happens all the time in every league, in every country throughout the world. And that's why I love
FA
this.
The FA and the English Premier League get along so well,
don't Welcome to the real world.
Well, not only that. You and I both work in this business. I was talking with somebody this afternoon who had tweeted about how bad this is. I said how bad it makes Klinsmann and Garber look to be having this spat. And I said, you know what? That may be, but take a moment to be selfish, and it's great for us.
Yep.
It gets people talking. It puts it in the media. It gets them some exposure. You know, and look, I'm not a fan of the whole sports hot takes thing, the way some people are. But
the soap opera is part of the story.
We're gonna forget about this in a week or 2 weeks. It's not gonna matter anymore.
The soap opera is part of the story. The reason we love sports is because of the soap opera. And I feel like American soccer has not been a soap opera. It's just been a bunch of hardworking guys doing their best to make it through. And a blue collar. It's not that in every other sport. In English soccer, it's the soap opera. In NFL, it's the soap opera. And we need to embrace the soap opera to make sure that we are to help us ascend to big boy sports.
And look, I'd like some of that to go away, for sure.
Yes.
But in other sports.
Yes.
But if you are of the belief that all publicity is good publicity, then you sent the price of popcorn futures flying through the roof today.
And I'm not of that opinion, but I am of the opinion that this isn't bad publicity in the sense of,
no actual effect.
It has no effect, and it's not a criminal act. It's two guys snipping at each other. To me, that's gold. Gold, Jerry, gold.
Well.
You ready to talk union?
When they keep calling up guys from the NASL, then we'll know.
You ready to talk union?
Sure, why not? You're not going to get me to talk about promotion and relegation?
No, I'm not going to ask you one question about promotion and relegation this entire conversation.
Okay, then.
So, Philadelphia Union, how are things in my hometown? Not good.
That's a great question.
Who's coaching his team next year?
I'm not sure anybody really knows.
Who's coaching his team next year?
Nick Sakevich is coaching himself.
Don't think that you in the back of your mind you're thinking to yourself, he would actually love to walk down there and coach that team next year.
I'd take a lot of pot shots at him. I do that in part because I've been watching him since his days with the Metro Stars.
Yep.
And I've seen his act for a long time. But, look, I have never, in all of the years I've been following him, I have never seen a single crystallized moment of the way that he can put his hands in the cookie jar and screw things up as Raiz and Boley costing this team a playoff berth.
That sums everything up.
Yes. And all of a sudden, the spotlight turned on him because Boley was his signing, not Jim Curtin's. It was Sakevich's thing all the way. And now you had this week on Tuesday, you had my colleague at Philadelphia Daily News, John Smallwood, write a blistering column saying that Šuševičius is directly responsible for the union's failures, and Šuševičius has not been much heard from in a while. And all of a sudden, he comes out of the rabbit hole and starts talking to everybody.
Saying what?
Saying whatever he's going to say, backing Jim Curtin, saying there's going to be a roster overhaul, saying things aren't good enough. Doesn't matter what he's saying. It's simply the fact that he's talking because he hasn't talked in a long time.
Got it. Well, and what he's not saying, which is, hey,
it's my fault.
This is on me, exactly.
And he's never said it's my fault. And, oh, by the way, he's a part owner of the team, so he can't be fired.
You actually called this, and you alluded to it earlier, but...
When?
You alluded to what I'm about to say earlier in this episode, but you've called...
I called Šuševičius years ago.
I was going to say, you've called the Šuševičius implosion almost from the point where they were announced that they had a team and he was the guy leading the ownership group.
Yes.
Is this the implosion, or is the implosion still down the road?
I can't tell you, because he's an owner. And as a result of that, I can't tell you whether he's going to have powers taken from him by Jay Sugarman, who's at sort of the top of the hierarchy in their ownership group. I can't tell you whether he's going to get bought out, any of it. I have no idea.
Do you think it's something that will be addressed this offseason, or is that not even on the table, just off of what you know?
I don't know. But if anything is going to happen, it's not going to be because of media criticism.
Yes.
It's going to be because the fans demand it. And up to now, to me, they have been hesitant. I shouldn't say they've been hesitant. There's a lot of anger. But I know there's a lot of fans in the union fan base who are upset with Šuševičius. I also have watched, I've never seen a Šuševičius out banner in the River End the way I've seen, banners about Nick DeSantis in Montreal or Gavin Wilkinson in Portland or, various people in Toronto. I've seen the Screaming Eagles run a banner taking a shot at Garber all the way the length of the bouncing bleacher side of RFK. And I've seen the Timbers Army take shots at Garber and all sorts of stuff like that. I've never seen any sign of protest out of the Sons of Men. I know that's in part because they have to clear all of their banners with stadium security. But even so, the observer from the outside who would have seen the fan base, whether the Sons of Men or other parts of the stadium, chanting "Fire Hackworth" earlier in the year, and he was fired. Nobody has done any kind of demonstration against Šuševičius.
Well, that was actually,
and as such, you might conclude that they aren't as concerned about him as they were with the coach.
Well, that actually was my next question was about the fan base. Obviously we are a few years away from the launch of the team. Maybe we aren't a few years away. Maybe we're in the bloom coming off the rose of having a team in our city. But when does that kind of go away and it ceases to become, well, I want to go because we didn't have a team 7 years ago and now we do, so I feel like it's my duty as a soccer fan to go. When does that wear off and when does the
that never existed here.
It never existed?
As a duty as a soccer fan? No.
Not as a duty as a soccer fan, but as a, hey, and I feel like I'm speaking from experience here, or at least some area of expertise. Philly not having a team from the get-go, I would assume always graded on me when I was living in 1996 in Philadelphia, and I saw a team down the 95 from me and a team up 95 from me, yet I am a team. I'm a city that's just as big.
And
or,
that's why they've been successful. That those people who wanted their own team.
That's what I'm saying.
You know, Philadelphians are not okay. Because Philadelphians, as you know, are not going to root for anybody else's team anywhere else on the planet.
Exactly.
But, they have not cracked this market yet.
Well, that's
they
fine.
Have not made
but the soccer,
no,
but,
it's not
but the,
fine.
No, but the Philly mentality of I want this because DC has it. And if D.C. and New York have it, I want it, is a Philly mentality. Now hyper-focus that to the soccer fan, and the Philly soccer fan is, I want an MLS team because D.C. has an MLS team and New York has an MLS team.
That's right, and that fan base has been taken care of. But in terms of the rest of the city?
Of course. But I'm asking.
They have not cracked it.
My question to you is that has that Philadelphia soccer fan with that mentality, has he gotten over that yet? And is it now to the point where it's that person is saying, no, it's not just good enough that I have what DC and New York have. Now I want a team that makes the playoffs consistently every year.
That was gone a long time ago.
Okay.
That was gone a long time ago. But they're still on a level with the soul, the kicks, and the wings, and the wings don't even play here anymore.
I love sweet kicks reference, by the way.
But you're from here. You know what I'm talking about.
I know
about.
What you're talking about.
They're not on the level with the other major teams the way they are. And I'll say this. Yes, even in Washington, they're on level with the other major teams. They absolutely are. Never mind the markets, you know, where the MLS team is a bigger deal because there's not as much competition. They should be a much bigger deal here than they are. Neither of the main daily newspapers, the Inquirer and the Daily News, have a full-time beat writer dedicated to soccer. And they keep saying they want one. They've had opportunities, and they've gone in other directions
yep.
that are more profitable. And I work for that company. I got to make my salary. I don't blame them.
Yep.
You know, their attendance is dropping. The stadium is far out of town, and people don't like going to it because it takes long to get there.
It's hard to get out of there. It's hard to get out of there, Jonathan. It's hard to get out of there.
Well, no, it's not hard to get out of there.
Okay,
I
shouldn't say it's hard to get out of there, but to the soccer fan that is going there, it puts you at a little bit of unease to be stopped at certain intersections getting out of PPL Park.
And that doesn't happen anymore because they built that ramp onto the highway.
Okay, because I was there last year, and that ramp wasn't there.
The
okay, all right.
Yeah, you go straight out of the parking lot up on the
bridge. And then you're out of there.
But it's still a half-hour drive or 40 minutes or whatever. The public transportation access is terrible. And here's how you fix it. You win. Nothing else. Win games. Build a winning team.
Well, and see, you said...
And how many trophies has Nick Sakevich won in his 18 years across three teams in Major League Soccer?
I have no idea, but I'm going to guess zero.
How many Super Bowls have the Eagles won in your lifetime?
None.
The same number?
Yes.
Zero.
Zero. Zero.
Is that a coincidence? Is it a coincidence that after all the places he's been, he hasn't won anything?
Well, it's interesting, though, because I asked you if this was going to be the offseason of implosion, and you said the one thing, the indicator that will trigger that implosion will be the fans. Whereas I immediately thought, well, what about the results? Won't the results trigger the implosion?
No.
Because it hasn't triggered it yet, and the results haven't been there all along.
And my suspicion, as tends to be the case with Philadelphia sports team management, in lots of different walks of life, is that if you're making enough money, then the results are the results. And it takes the fans really getting in an uproar to force change.
Would things be different if they hired a name, quote-unquote, coach who wouldn't be as accepting of interference from the front office as some of the younger coaches that have been through Philly? Although I know
that coach wouldn't stick around, which inclines me to say the answer is yes, it would be different. It would be worse.
Because we'd be in a situation where that person would bring in their people, bring in their formation, the guys they think that would win, and then fight with front office.
How many times has that happened in MLS history?
A lot. And then you're stuck with a formation or a formation
you
don't use.
How many times have they won?
Never.
Okay.
Can't think of one.
Okay.
But therefore, in what you've seen, is that the next move for Philadelphia Union? Not asking you if it's the right move, but knowing what you know.
I think Jim Curtin gets the job, and then the question is whether they hire a technical director, which would in turn take those responsibilities away from Nick Sakevich, which is part of the reason why I can't see it happening.
And that was going to be my question. If they hire a technical director, does he then give up power, or does he try to run things through the technical director, who then tries to run things through the coach? Which, you know, third hand in the cookie jar, that can't end badly.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. And this is all I know. As
you sound so defeated, Jonathan. You sound just well, so down.
I don't care that much.
I know.
But here's what I do know. One of the smartest people and the man who's in charge of one of the most successful teams in Major League Soccer is from South Jersey.
Who you refer-
It took him and his team and his organization and dropped a lock, stock, and barrel in Philadelphia. It would be the hottest thing in town.
Who are you referring to?
Peter Vermes.
Oh.
You take Peter Vermes, Rob Heineman, and their philosophy of building a team, and you put it in Philadelphia, and it's the hottest thing in town.
So, are you just throwing that out there, or has there actually been talk of, hey, let's bring a hometown local guy and throw a bunch of money at him to get him to walk away cherry gig?
They've got one. No. There's been no discussion of Vermes. I doubt there will ever be because he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Except for the U.S. national team eventually. I'm just saying the guy is out there.
Can you give us some perspective? Because if we are MLS, we are fans of MLS teams throughout the league. We look at the TFC situation, and we know that that's not going well. To put it lightly, we know that now Houston is going to have to reimagine themselves now that they've lost Dominic Kinnear. In the Western Conference, put into perspective the Philadelphia situation as far as problem child for MLS is concerned.
It's right there. Well, okay. Is it a problem child? I don't know. But I do know this. Philadelphia could and should be the number one ratings market in the Eastern Conference in Major League Soccer.
Now,
when you look at the strength of how this city delivers in sports and television for all the other sports, if this team was even consistently good, not great.
A playoff team.
Yes. They'd trump the Red Bulls and every other team in the Eastern Conference for TV ratings. And Major League Soccer needs that badly. Very, very badly. They really need strong teams in the Eastern Conference in Chicago and Philadelphia and Boston in particular. Three of the top, what, 5, 6, 7?
10.
TV markets in the country?
10, but yes, I see your point.
For Boston is 7. Philadelphia is 4, and Chicago is 3.
Yeah, so top 10.
Right. So this is a league that gets 100,000 to 150,000 people for a national TV broadcast.
That's not good.
No. You know why the National Hockey League took off and when it took off? Really?
Are you?
When the Flyers played the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup Final. And it smashed all the records because you had Philly and Chicago turning in.
Two blue-collar towns who support their teams and tune in.
And a giant television market.
And are big, big markets.
Yes.
So you're putting it, obviously, it's under Chivas and TFC. Is it...
And it's not as bad as New England.
Okay.
It's on the level that Chicago is.
Got it. That's perfect. Perfect analogy. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jim Curtin, in your mind,
Denver's a pretty big TV market. Here are the teams that are all on the same level, in a lot of ways, not entirely. Dallas is one of them, but they're actually playing well, and they have money, and they have some really good players. Dallas, Denver, Philadelphia, and Chicago. What do they have in common?
Big markets, teams that are blah when you look at them from the outside, could be bigger. Not realizing their potential.
And what else? Jumped over the easy one.
What was the easy one?
Their stadiums are 30 miles out of their city.
Oh, interesting. Very interesting.
Can you imagine? Look, everybody, we all talk about what it would be like if the Reds were playing in Boston. Obviously, you know, we'll do that until it actually happens. But can you imagine if the Fire were playing in the city of Chicago?
There'd be a vibrancy that is lacking in the suburbs, of course.
It would be every single MLS fan's number one travel destination in the summer. And an awful lot of players would want to play there. Can you imagine, as everyone in Philadelphia has imagined, because it could have happened and then it didn't, if PPL Park was on the Delaware River near the Ben Franklin Bridge instead of the Commodore Barry Bridge?
True.
You know, I personally am not so much of a fan of having to wade through all the hipsters in Fishtown and Northern Liberties, but I would have loved taking the yellow of that stadium.
But that's where they are, and that's where the people are. Hey, just for point of reference, have you been to Sporting Park? And if you have, where is that in relation to the city?
It's out of the way in a region that doesn't really have such a downtown.
So they're the exception to this rule.
Yes. And there is other stuff around Sporting Park.
Well, see, and that's the other thing. You know, and I was going to make the joke earlier, after the game, rather than sitting in traffic at PPL, why don't you just head to the local tavern and get yourself a beer and sit it out? But that's not an option there. There's nothing there.
Correct. Correct. There is nothing there. So what are the things that are near Sporting Park? Let's see here. As I still have memories of driving out there and parking. In the parking lot of a Nebraska Furniture Mart.
Oh, nice.
And there's a couple of strip malls. There's a Dave and Buster's and a Cold Stone.
Yeah, there's
and a Five Guys.
There's
Panera.
Now, there's stuff.
I'm being facetious here. Because actually, the reason why people know where Sporting Park is it's next to the NASCAR track. So that's why there is so much development around there.
Yeah.
And there's a Cabela's near the Nebraska Furniture Mart.
There's stuff.
Yes.
I mean, if we're being honest, the Philadelphia sports complex 10 years ago, there wasn't anything but the venues
right
there.
Now, and you've got the problem where they promised a supermarket and other commercial development in Chester.
Yes, and none of that happened.
Anywhere close to it. And as I think we might suspect that it won't happen. You know, things being what they are.
Yeah.
There's never been any indication that, you know, that things might be better. And for as much as people want to complain about downtown stadiums and taxpayer-funded stadiums and so forth, your city down there got it right with the baseball stadium.
Yep.
And I do think they're going to get it right with the soccer stadium.
And they got it right with the hockey basketball arena. Revitalized an area that no one went to. And Nats Park's doing the same thing.
Going to Chinese New Year's celebrations at a restaurant in Chinatown, which no longer exists. In fact, it has not existed for many years, called Hunan Chinatown.
Probably can't afford to be there anymore.
Hunan Chinatown was, when you come out the Chinatown exit, that used to be open air. With a fence around it. And Hunan Chinatown was right, like, near where you walked out onto, what is that, 8th Street?
It's, yes.
It was right near there. There's, like, a SunTrust bank there now. And for a while, they ran the Chinese food concession stand in the Verizon Center because the lady who owned the place, it was a very nice place. It was not some little takeout stand. And the lady who owned the place was very powerful and well-connected and knew Abe Poland well, so she got the concession. It had to close because when they built the Gallery Place condos, so much debris fell on the roof that they couldn't keep going.
Oh.
But I remember, as I say, going there so often, and what the Gallery Place area used to be like.
And what it is now, for people who don't know.
And I could not tell you what the Navy Yard used to be like because I never went there.
It was horrible. There was
once to row on the Anacostia in high school. That was it, and I don't remember anything of it.
There was nothing there. There was one nightclub that had rock shows there twice a year that I'd have to go to, and it was literally worse than the worst neighborhood that you could think about. Not because of the bad element, although that was there, but also because there was so much abandonment around it. There was nothing there.
And nowadays, if I move back to D.C., I might want to live down there.
You would want to live down there because you get in on the ground floor now and your investment would tenfold triple because of Nats Park, the baseball stadium, and, fingers crossed, the soccer stadium at Buzzard Point.
I could live there. I could live near Arena Stage where they got supermarkets and the metro and all kinds of stuff.
You can live a life down here, Jonathan, and you will one day because you'll be welcomed back.
That's stretching it.
All right, so listen, I
appreciate... By the time I get back down there, nobody's going to know who I am anymore.
You'll start all over again. You start from scratch. And Jonathan, hey, by the way, I just remember a couple years ago when I was having you on this Rinky Dink podcast, and after it was over, you'd go, hey, man, was that any good? How was it? I'm not used to talking too much. I'm more of a writer. Now you're hosting other podcasts. Now you're hosting other podcasts. You're big time now.
I've gotten used to talking. I got asked to fill in on a show recently.
Exactly. That's what I'm referring to.
And I had a lot of fun.
You're hosting shows.
I tell you what. It's hard to host a show for an hour when all the blocks are regimented.
I agree. Welcome.
This is a lot more freeform.
Well, this is. But my regular job is very, very regimented. It's not easy. It's not easy. Thank you for walking a mile in my shoes as a host, Jonathan. I appreciate that. And I hope when you have your own successful show that you will refer back and give Pitch Pass its due to say that guy took a chance on an unknown kid and brought him on the air.
Yeah, right.
So that you won't do that.
Yeah, right. You know who took a chance?
Who?
Is Kyle Shelton's old boss, Doug Hicks, who let me into RFK. To cover a game or two back in, I don't know what, 2001?
That was your chance. That was your chance as a writer, Jonathan. I'm talking about your chance as a broadcaster. And that, I am the Doug Hicks of your broadcasting career. No. Philly.com/, is it the goalkeeper? How do we get to your page?
Philly.com/soccer.
Soccer, that's it. Goalkeeper is gone. That rebrand.
Oh, it's there. That's how you get to everything.
Philly.com/soccer for anything Tannenwald related in Philadelphia. Also, at the goalkeeper. That is a must follow if you are on Twitter, so make sure you're following him. Jonathan Tannenwald, thank you, sir. I appreciate it as always.
You're welcome. I hope I left you enough time for whatever other guest you're going to have on.
We cleared the schedule for you, Jonathan. Only one guest.
Oh, well, thank you. I spent enough time listening to DC101 as a kid that I earned the right to an
You did. One. You did. Thank you, my friend. Take it easy.
You're welcome.
Show information, go to pitchpass.com.